Welcome to More Life, the Reentry Podcast, where we explore the transformative journey of reentry after incarceration. I'm your host, Venkivia Gardner. Each week, we bring you powerful interviews with experts in the field and the voices of those who have lived through the experience. Our mission is to bridge the gap between scholarly insights and personal stories by shedding light on the challenges and triumphs faced by formerly incarcerated individuals. We explore the latest research, policies, and practices while also hearing firsthand accounts from those who've been impacted. Join us as we uncover the realities of reentry, challenge misconceptions, and inspire hope. Whether you're a professional working in the legal system, a family member, an advocate, or someone navigating reentry yourself, More Life the Reentry Podcast is here to inform, inspire, and ignite change. Welcome back to another episode of More Life, the Reentry Podcast, where we discuss the transformative journey of reentry after incarceration. We are back with our last episode of season three. Throughout this season, we've been exploring the entrepreneurial journey of system impacted after incarceration. On today's episode, we're going to be diving into a powerful initiative from the St. Louis Library, the Small Launchpad Business Program, which is a program that provides mentorship, resources, and different opportunities for those looking to start a business or grow their businesses after incarceration. So to join us today, we have Megan Pfeiffer Davis. Megan has been a librarian since 2018, where she's worked in both academic and public libraries. She currently manages the Information Services Department at the St. Louis County Library, where she spends a lot of time leading research support, small business assistance, and workforce development initiatives. She's played a key role in the Small Launchpad Business Program, so I'm looking forward to hearing more about it and talking with her. So thank you for coming on to our show today.
Yeah, thanks for letting me be here to talk about our wonderful, cool program.
Yes. Well, let's get into it. Can you just tell us a little bit about the St. Louis County Library and what services that they offer to the community, just in case if we have any St. Louis listeners and maybe they haven't had the opportunity to visit, maybe they might hear something that might, you know, bring them on in.
Yeah. Thanks for giving me that opportunity, because when I go places to talk to people, I always say, what do you think of when you think of the library? Or what did you think I was going to talk about when I came here today? And everybody always says books. And we are far more than that now. Libraries have changed into more of like a community center in their areas. And so St. Louis County Library has done pretty much that same thing. So we're a 20-branch system that serves all of St. Louis County. There's about 990,000 residents within St. Louis County. So we are one of the largest systems within the state of Missouri, not the largest. Other libraries have that title. We have reciprocal agreements with people that live in St. Louis City, that live in St. Charles City County, that live in Jefferson County. And then if you live in the municipalities like University City, Valley Park, Ferguson, and so on, you can get a card with the library for free. So yes, we have books. We have wonderful catalog of books. And then we're connected to another catalog called Mobius, where you can get books from any other library in and around the state of Missouri that Mobius is a part of. So it's mostly going to be academics, but it does connect us to some of the other cool large libraries like Springfield Green, St. Charles City County is there, so we can easily get their books sent over to us. I believe Mid-Continent's in there. That's the largest system in our state. So we have access to like 5 million books just with your free library card. Outside of books, and if you're thinking more like resources, we have a ton of databases. So we have, for St. Louis County residents, a resource called Canopy, where you can watch movies and films. We have ebooks, audiobooks, e-magazines. And then I have my department that I cherish very much. I have a bunch of databases that can help with a lot of different things. And some of the stuff we'll talk about in the Small Business Launchpad will be some of the databases we have that we can offer to patrons. But then I have other fun stuff like Headspace for mental health assistance, stress relief, getting people moving more. I have Creative Bug and Craft and Hobby for people to pick up new hobbies. You learn how to knit, crochet, paint. I have LinkedIn Learning and Udemy for professional development, so they can watch videos on all kinds of things, from like, how do I use Excel to how do I play the violin? So much stuff. And then I have resources like All Data, where we can learn about cars and how to fix cars and what parts you need for those cars. I have SkillMill, you can learn trades. So we have tons of resources just in that aspect. Outside of resources, which is what people typically think of when this library, we provide a ton of services. So a lot of our branches have after-school meals right now, but in the summer we do summer lunches, and in the summer we do Pizza Fridays. So some of the branches have pizza for the kids to come into the branch and get a good meal and then get pizza on Fridays. We have branches that have diapers and period products. So if you are in need of diapers or period products, or we have something called comfort kits, if you find yourself in a situation where you might be unhoused, you can come to the library and get kits specifically for you. We partner with the diaper bank for the diapers and the period products. We have social workers at, 5 of our branches, and then we have one that floats around. So they are able to provide any type of social work need at all of our branches. Just because they're located at 5 doesn't mean that you can't get it if you don't have a social worker at that branch. We have free printing, copying, and faxing. Not faxing, it is $1, but free copy and prints up to $5 every month. So you get a $5 credit on your card where you can print or make copies for free up to that $5 limit. We just have a lot going on. We bring in a lot of organizations and nonprofits to help out. So we have, it's my favorite one. So shout out iThrive St. Louis, but iThrive will come to some of our branches to offer free eye appointments for kids, and then they can leave with free eyeglasses. We have something called the St. Louis Metro Market that goes all the way out to Spanish Lake area at our Lewis and Clark branch. It's a food desert out there, and they will bring nutritious foods available for the patrons to be able to purchase, because getting healthy food up there is really difficult. We just do a lot.
Yeah, libraries have definitely grown. I remember as a kid, I mean, they had those things that you're talking about, art groups, book mm-hmm. clubs, mm-hmm. But the amount of resources and services that you guys are offering, that's amazing. So there's a wealth of stuff that people, if you're in the St. Louis area or St. Louis County, go to the library. They have it going on there. And
yeah. And if we don't have it, we'll figure out who does. So.
Yes. So let me ask this question, because some of the activities I saw, and even some of the, well, not saw, but some of the activities you were talking about in book related stuff, is all of this in person, or are there ways for people to access stuff like online? I know mm-hmm. some libraries, I think about my home library, we have a app that we use called Libby, where you can get audiobooks. Mm-hmm. Do you all have something of that sort?
Yeah. So most of our stuff you can get online with your library card access 24/7, anywhere where you have connection to the internet. We have Libby for our audiobooks and our ebooks. We have Canopy, Hoopla. Hoopla is another resource that has a lot of ebooks and audiobooks, but also has TV shows and magazines. And then most of my databases are accessible from home outside of the library as well. There's a couple that you have to come into our branch to be able to use because of mm-hmm. how we license with them. Mostly digital. And then we do a lot of virtual programs. So if you're not able to come to the library, and mm-hmm. I believe even if you're not in St. Louis, we do post them to YouTube. But most of our programs, anybody could sign up for. So you could be in Oklahoma and watch a chair yoga class put on by St. Louis County Library if you really wanted to. But we do have some really fun programs that go on throughout. We have a history and genealogy department, and they put on some really awesome programs if you're into genealogy. We have a lot of movement programs, a lot of health programs, Medicaid programs. Those can be asked. Mm-hmm. A lot of those are virtual. So,
yeah. So if you need in-person services, you definitely can go to the library. But if mm-hmm. you're not able to, there are virtual options for mm-hmm. you. A plethora of resources, services, and just opportunities at the library. So I encourage you all, go to your local libraries. Do not underestimate what they can provide for you.
Yeah. Even if it's not us, all libraries are cool. So
they really are. They really are. I recently got a new library card this past year, and I hadn't been to our a main library branch in a while. And I was like, oh, wow, they offer so many different things here. So now I go all the time when I go home. I love the library. So
I know there's like this no buy trend right now that it was going all over the internet. And some people were like, I'm not going to buy books. I'm not going to go to the movies. I'm just going to rent it from the library. And I was like, yeah. Do that.
Yes, come to the library. You all go to the library. So yes, a lot of great services, a lot of great programming. And one program that we're going to talk about today is the Small Launchpad Business Program. Megan, do you care to talk to us about what exactly that program is and what was the inspiration behind its creation?
Yeah. So now what it is it's an 8-week program for formerly incarcerated people to learn the ins and outs of business, whether they have an idea that's just sort of there and they're thinking about going for it, or they actually are have filed their LLC and they're just trying to grow, or they don't know what to do next because they're like, I did this thing, but now what? So it's a program that helps give all the tools necessary to start and run their business successfully. So back in 2022, I went to a Public Library Association conference. It was in Portland, Oregon. Yes, I had to think about this. I was like, I went to Columbus this last year. So it was in Portland, Oregon. I went to a session called Libraries Build Business. And there are 5 different people talking about different business programs. But one that stuck out to me the most was presented by a guy named Adam Pitts out of Gwinnett County Public Library in Georgia. And it was Fresh Start. That's what their program was called. And it was the same thing, but it was a 6-month long program. So I was like taking all the notes I possibly could. I came back. I didn't have an assistant manager at the time. Like, I was just hiring someone. So by the time my assistant manager started, her name was Nick, I like bombarded her. I was like, we have to do this. We have to figure this out. We've got to do this. And thankfully, we have a small business librarian as well. So we got her on board. And then we met with Adam. And he, what's really cool about librarians is we are not ever stingy with like things. Like, it's not like Adam was like, this is my thing and I don't want anybody else to do it. He gave me everything, like everything I could have ever wanted. He gave me their entire like breakdown of what they did every single month. He offered incentives. So he gave me an overview of all the incentives. He got a grant for this program. So he sent me the budget for their grants and how they spent their money. So I was able to see like, okay, we're not getting a grant for this because we're already too late for a grant cycle. How can I take what Adam did and shift it to what we can do with the budget that I have? So that's where it came from. And when we first did it, we did follow Adam's thought process of a 6-month program where we would meet every other week. But then we pushed it down to an 8-week meet every week program just because we saw a lot of people dropping out in that first cohort after like 4 months. 6 months is a long commitment. And I know when you and I were talking before, one of my Launchpad people in the first session had a baby in that time frame. So she came, was just a few months pregnant. And then by the time the program was over, she had given birth to said baby. She actually came in that week. And I was like, oh my gosh, did you have your baby? And she's like, yeah, just a few days ago. And I'm like, why are you here? But that's how serious she was about starting a business.
Yeah, so I appreciate that. So no gatekeeping. No gatekeeping.
No, I've never met a librarian that is like that. We just want to help everybody.
I love that. And so you have full access to replicate their original program. And granted, you have to customize it for where you are and what's going to work within your library. But it seems like you had a layout, which
I
really
had
great.
An outline. And the only thing I really had to do, well, I think Adam was only meeting with them once a month and we wanted to do twice a month. The only thing I really needed to do was find our partners. So he had his idea of partners that he had from Georgia. And so then I would be like, all right, so who can I have do the business plan? Well, I have this partner and this organization. So all we really had to do was find the partners, thanks to Adam.
Could you give us a little bit of a glimpse of what are they learning in the program or mm-hmm. what services are offered in the program. You don't have to give us your whole curriculum, of course, but just a little glimpse of what are they taking away from this program?
Yeah, well, there's no gatekeeping. So something I forgot to mention, when we meet, it's a 2-hour meeting. So typically the first part of the meeting, what we like to do is there's a guy that we partnered with, his name's Dan Lauer. He did an accelerator at UMSL, the University of Missouri, St. Louis, his accelerator program. He partnered with people and got $50,000 for. I invited him in because I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I need help. So he started this thing called accountability circles. So the first part of our day would be just, what have we done since we met last for our business? And if the answer was, I haven't worked on my business, that's fine. It would be, what can we now do to help you get to where you need to be with your business? Or is there anything we can do to help you this week? But then that just gave everybody that accountability of, I need to be doing something consistently for my business. And then they got ideas from each other. Or like our first cohort, she was one of our people, her name is Dre. She was really good at like making logos and websites and things. And so someone would be like, I just really need help with making a logo. That's my next thing I'm trying to do. And then Dre was able to say like, hey, I can help. Or if somebody was like, I just don't know what to do for XYZ, sometimes I'd hear, well, I know this person over here, this organization, you want me to introduce you? So those accountability circles, not only was it like, help, like, hey, you need to do something every week for your business, but connecting people where they might need to be connected. Then the rest of it, we would do our lessons. So first part is just mindset, getting into the mindset, talking about the elephant in the room, which is that this is an entire class of people that were formerly incarcerated. And knowing that everybody has lived that same experience, that this is a safe space, that they can openly talk about the concerns that they might have, but how to overcome a system that has continuously put them down and told them that they couldn't achieve anything, and how to just switch that to say like, hey, you now have this entire group of people that are ready for you to make you be the best person you want to be. So we talked about mindset first, and then we would dive into, what kind of business do you want to start? What are you interested in? What are your skills? What are your strengths? How can we make a business into that? From there, we talk about laws because legal is important, especially when you're doing LLCs, because you got to file all kinds of paperwork. So we bring in someone from Legal Services of Eastern Missouri, and they talk about all the different types of business ownership. So LLC versus sole proprietorship versus maybe they are thinking of a nonprofit. So they talk through all those different business entities. Once they figure out what business entity they want, that's when we start talking about business plans. So who's your target market? Where is your target market specifically? If it's a place you want to have a brick and mortar, where do you specifically want to be? If you're not a brick and mortar and you're a service, do you feel comfortable driving 40 miles away or do you want to keep it close? So we talk about all of those aspects, plus all the industry information that they would need to learn about their business. Is it growing? Is it not growing? What are the strengths, opportunities, threats, and weaknesses? So we dive into all of that so much. As I'm talking about it, I'm like, it's so fun. I love this. But then I'm like, some people might be like, that sounds like some fun. We make it as fun and hands-on as possible.
I mean, it's great information, though.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And it is really important information that you have to know to start mm-hmm. a business. And some people just don't have access to that information or haven't yes. had opportunities to learn it. So you have to be thorough.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be comprehensive. And you still have to make it fun, too,
yeah.
at the same time. I get that.
I know, because I was like, the next one is business funding. And so as we're bringing in all these different ideas, it's not myself or my librarian talking. We're bringing in other people. So mm-hmm. for the laws, it was Legal Services of Eastern Missouri. For the business plans, it's Small Business Development Center. For business funding, we bring in some bankers, and they're able to just outright talk about getting loans and applying for credit. And I remember at one of our sessions, someone was like, could I take a loan against my house to start a business? And I'm sitting there going, no, no. But they were able to ask these questions. So my hope is by the end, at the end of our 8 weeks, they've not only have me and my librarian that runs this program, but they have all of these other people that have come throughout the weeks to support them that they can say, what did that guy say about not taking a loan on my house? What should I do instead? They can reach out. We talk about like finding other funding. So grants are typically going to be for your nonprofits, but there are sometimes for-profit grants. So how to find those, how to find an angel investor, how to do like a pitch to a possible funder to be able to pitch your business and get money. We talk about marketing. We bring in Keisha Mabry from Hey Days. I always will shout out Keisha's name to the ends of the earth because she is just an absolutely amazing person. She helps with marketing, but she's also the Grow with Google like person for St. Louis. And so she really talks about like website presence, how to optimize search engine optimization so that your business idea or your business name will search like pop up if you're searching for like landscaping near me. Like, will it show me? Will it show me? It's going to show the like most popular ones, the people that pay for ads. But she talks about things like that. And then that whole thing ends in a pitch competition. So throughout all those 8 weeks, we are building into the thought that you have to be able to talk about your business so that anywhere you go, you can launch into a speech very quickly in case you might run into somebody that might say like, hey, I want to throw $100,000 your way. Tell me about your business. And you just know what to do. So we do a pitch competition. The first year we did not have funding, but the second year we did get funding. So last year we were able to give away $10,000 in business capital to a first place, second place, and third prize winner. Yeah. So it's always rough too, because I understand participation trophies. Not saying that everybody deserves like a participation trophy, but you want everybody to have some sort of funding to start their business. But we put that out there because the real world is you're going to go to these funding meetings. You're going to meet with people and they might choose someone else. So to learn and support each other. It's a lot of fun. Pitch competitions are.
I mean, the entire process sounds like it's a lot of fun. I'm sitting over here thinking like, dang, is there a way I can enroll? Do they have one of these for people who are not formally incarcerated or system impacted?
The only other one I have is if you're 55 and older. You don't need that either.
I'm not that either.
Not anywhere close.
Not anywhere close. But yeah. I love what you all are doing because you are really taking them through the steps of developing the business idea, creating the business plan, connecting to the organizations, seeking and finding the funding opportunities, and not just finding the funding opportunities, understanding what financing the role of that in mm-hmm. a business and how to market.
Yeah.
And be ready when it's time to pitch your business.
Mm-hmm. Because you never know when you're going to meet someone. There was a time I was just walking around the library and I was talking to a guy and I just was like, I was telling him what I do and he was like, oh, I'm interested in small business. And I was like, oh, I have this idea. And I just, I didn't know this guy.
Yeah.
At all. The guy ended up working for the county government. He's like, I'm going to help you start that idea. And I was just like, I did not know this was going to happen today. I probably would have dressed a little nicer. Because you just never know when you're going to run into someone, ever.
Yeah. And so having that elevator pitch, that quick sales story about your business, I mean, you'll just never know where it will take you.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, yeah. that's a great addition. I love that. Mm-hmm. So I know, you know, you've said this already that the program really is designed for people who are formerly incarcerated. It seems like there is one for people older than 55, you said, too?
Yeah, but we call it Encore Entrepreneur, how to can do your encore after you finish your job by starting your own business.
Love it. So can you tell us about what makes the program that you offer for people who are formerly incarcerated different from some of the other small mm-hmm. business programs that may exist?
Yeah. So St. Louis is like one of the largest small business hubs in the country. I might just say that because I'm a little biased and I have looked it up and there are other larger metropolitan areas that have small business, but I'm here and I see it and I know all the organizations. So I always say we're like in the top 10. I really do think that's an actual fact though. When this idea came up and I was like, hey, I want to recreate this idea from Gwinnett County Public Library. I had to make a proposal for my director, and she was like, hey, see who else is doing this. And when I, in 2022, I swear, when I looked up, I didn't see many. Some of them were like, you had to pay to get into, or there was like scholarships for some people. But there always seemed to be like a little bit of a barrier to access. I had seen my now friend, Dan Lauer's thing from University of Missouri, St. Louis, the DEI accelerator. And I just had always assumed, it might've been this way when I looked it up, that you had to be a student at UMSL, which is also another barrier of, like, you have to pay to apply and all these things. So now it's like we birthed this thing at the same time everybody else was doing their own. Like, everybody had the same idea in St. Louis. Like, we got to do something. This is the one of the only programs. I'm not going to say the only, because Harristow also does a formerly incarcerated accelerator. But these are the only ones that are like more focused on a specific demographic area. The one at UMSL is going to be more about like minority-owned businesses. But this one is the only one for people formerly incarcerated outside of Harristow. And the reason I find that important is everybody I've met that's done this program, you can just tell the system has beat them down. Like, just the way they talk, the way they ask questions, the apprehension, the trust, like, you have to build that trust. And so providing them a space where they can specifically talk about, hey, this happened to me when I was in prison, or this is an experience I had, or I've tried to go for jobs and people continuously turn me away just because of that conviction. It's a safe space for them to be and know that they're not alone in that aspect. That there are, you know, in our first group, we had 8 that were going through the system, we went through the program. We had 8 going through the second program. We start with 12, and then 8's our magic number. Like, it's been this thing, even in our 55 plus, we started with 12 and we ended with 8. It's very bizarre. They just all like knew that they had each other to go through this throughout the entire thing, and that every week they would have this group that they could rely on. So my first group, gosh, I was so in love. Like, after I realized, like, they were hanging out outside of our classes. There was one that someone was like, hey, Laquita's not able to come today. Can I take, because we would give away books ever so often. Like, can I take her book for her and I'll give it to her when I see her on Friday? And I'd be like, they're hanging out. That's so amazing. And then we also have brought in speakers too that were formerly incarcerated. So the first one we had Bobby Bostic, who then ended up becoming a program attendee for us as well in the first cohort. And then the second time we had a Washington University volunteer for the prison education program. And they were able to say, hey, I was also formerly incarcerated and here's what I'm doing now. And that I'm here for you. That's why it's just a little bit different. I have seen a lot of like minority-owned business accelerators in the area, but us and Harristow are the only one that are focusing on that aspect. And the reason why I find it important is just because of that stigma that's out there. There are organizations that will hear you have a record and just say like, oh, nope, we're going to go on to somebody else. The fact that people that were formerly incarcerated get paid like 80 cents to the dollar for their colleagues, jobs that they can get into are not great ones, not great hours. So we can battle that by saying, you can start your own business. You can make the money you deserve, and you can pick the hours that you want, and you can pick the clients you want. You can have someone that's a jerk and you'll be like, you know what? I'm not doing business with you. We got other people that can do business. And then the other thing is, we're one of the only incubators. So I don't know of any other, I don't want to say I don't know of any others. I suspect there are a couple other ones. A lot of them are accelerators for businesses that are already established. They're already doing really good in sales. It's just how to get them further. So Cortex has one called Square One. The UMSL one is considered an accelerator. But I do know of some of like smaller organizations. Beyond Housing, I think, has an incubator. But I think of it like back when we were in elementary school, where we had the little chick eggs in an incubator. That's us. We got our little chicken eggs. They're in the little eggs still. And by the time they're done, that's when they'll hatch out and we can push them into those accelerators that are like Cortex that can accelerate their business to the next level.
Yeah, there's a lot of uniqueness to this program that you all offer from what mm-hmm. I heard. Just the mere element, like you said, there are other organizations, small business organizations that provide similar training and probably curriculum, mm-hmm. but very limited focus on formerly incarcerated people. Mm-hmm. And especially, like you said, and going back, we've talked about this in previous episodes, just some of those barriers that they encounter, entrepreneurship does become a pathway for mm-hmm. them. And to have an incubator program where you can learn the fundamentals, the basics, and get that startup started so you can move to the next level, like you said about Cortex, is just really important. And it adds to that level of uniqueness of you all's program. And it's really tailored to these individuals to have other people with lived experience, different experiences, but experience, you know, challenges very similarly, and have them as accountability partners, as encouragers, and just support.
Yeah. It's really cool seeing them grow. Like literally the first day in my first cohort, when they all met, like there was no trust in the room. I was going around trying really hard. I am an introvert at heart, but in work, I am sort of extroverted, and I like to surround myself with humor. So I was trying so hard in this first class, like trying to get people to open up and laugh. But I was trying to get them to do like a exercise where it was, let's go around the room, tell us about yourself, tell us what your business. Yeah. And the first three people refused to say anything about their business. So by the fourth person, I was like, hey, you're the person that's going to do this, right? And they're like, don't tell anybody. Someone's going to steal my idea. And it took me, I was just like, oh, we got to talk about that. Let's take a moment and talk about this. Because in the application, so we do an application process for this, just to get an idea of where people are in that mindset aspect of starting their business. And then we also want to make sure we're not having like five landscapers. And then they're all competing for the same people. So when we do these cohorts, we pick people to make sure that there's no competing industries, that my customer is not going to be the same as, you know, your customer. We could actually have the same customer, but my business might be, what would I do? The thing I always use in examples is like dog food. I'll make dog food. Maybe you have a dog. And then my other friend might be, we had someone that did nails and eyelashes. Like we might have the same customer, but we're very different in what our product is. So I had to take that moment to be like, oh my gosh, you guys are actually, none of you are competing with each other. You guys are just here. Nobody's in the same industry. So you can still learn from each other. It was just, that was probably the biggest eye-opening thing.
Yeah.
With that group. And then the second time too, we could see the walls were up, and then they immediately came down when George Putney started talking. He's the guy that we bring in from WashU that was formerly incarcerated. And you could see like everybody was like, oh, here's this guy talking to us. And he goes, oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you, I did this many years in prison, and then told his whole story. And you could literally see walls physically coming down and people loosened up and they started engaging more and talking and laughing. And I was just like, it's so important to have that space to see it from the outside. Yeah.
I could definitely see that. And so I hear there were different industries in the room, in the program. Can you share with us some of your success stories of individuals who have gone through the program and actually like turn their business ideas into their everyday reality?
Yeah. So I'm going to talk about our most recent cohort and then I'll dive into the one previously. But our first place winner was a power washing company. So Meyer Washing, he won our first prize, which I think was $5,000. Pretty sure. He's been doing his thing. I actually saw him pop up swear it was Facebook. It was like, you know, it's like people you might know, and it was his business. And I was just like, oh, there he is. He's doing his thing. Anthony Taylor was one of our tax service people. So he had like a mobile tax service that you can do, but he's also an author and writes books for amputees because he is an amputee. So he did another program of ours called the Pop-Up Market and came to our holiday market and was selling books. He is just a light and a delight to be with. I think he's really busy right now with taxes. So
it is tax season.
Yeah, it's coming up. Unfortunately, it is tax season. Yeah. Fortunately for Anthony, it's tax season.
Right. Business will be booming for him.
Yeah, but like what's nice is like right now he's busy with taxes, but he has found that other thing for him to do. April 15th, right, when taxes are due or whatever date it is, he can switch over and be Anthony the author. Another person we have is paralegal, so that's his business. He can't practice law, but he can help people understand law and then help other lawyers with different like research needs that they might do. He's been doing that full time. And then, I'm trying to think of which one. I remember we talked about when we were just chatting, one of my guys was a voice actor, so he sells his voice and he does recordings of things and he's behind the mic. At the end of the program, he had like, I think two different clients of the stuff he was recording. And his name's Mike. So that's what the fun thing is. It's behind the mic.
Oh, that's so clever.
I know. And you know, when you read them and you don't think about it and then like you hear them say it like behind the mic and I'm like, oh, you're Mike. That's so good. What?
It adds up. It makes sense.
Yeah. And then another one of my people, his name is Sean. He was a welder. So he was working for someone in welding and they were doing commercial welding. And he was like, hey, why don't we do anything residential? I know somebody that needs residential stuff. And his boss said, well, why don't you do it on the side? You can make the money and I'll let you use our facility. I'll let you use our stuff for a fee. So he's been welding ever since. He actually, our power washer needed a trailer welded. And so they like first day connected. And then like my joke was, hey, there's someone in the room that can do all of your taxes at the end of this. And there's someone else in the room that can help you with all the legal documents you'll need. So it was, I hope they're all still clienting together.
Yeah. That's a way to build a network of people. Just right here in the room using the industries that are here.
Yeah.
And working together.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And then in our first group, we had someone that was doing like custom t-shirts. She's still doing that on the side. Her mother passed away. But what the program gave her was the confidence to apply to nursing school. So she thought because she had been formerly incarcerated that school was out of the picture for her. But just through resources and talking through us and connections we made, she realized that that was not true. Applied to nursing school, and she's now in nursing school. So she messaged me, and she was like, I'm so sorry, I'm putting my business on hold for nursing school. And I'm like, that's amazing. Because then once you're through that, you can start your own business with like in-home care and different other nursing jobs.
Yeah, she might have a whole new business ideas.
Yeah. And then we had someone that was doing eyelashes and nails. She was going to conferences around the country. So there was a time I know she went to Colorado for like a nail convention. So she's doing all kinds of fun stuff with that. Another one of my people, her name's Laquita. She was doing cannabis infused foods. So one step for her is she wanted to know the cannabis world better. So she enrolled in the SLU program so she could get a better understanding. Hers was harder because Missouri is Missouri and cannabis was legalized not too long ago. So being able to sell, there's a lot of actually hoops to jump through, especially when you're putting it in food. And that year there was like a specific application and they were only accepting like 25 people for the entire state of Missouri. So it was getting her prepared for that, which is why the SLU class was going to be so beneficial. And then our friend Bobby Bostick, who came and did a talk with us and then was like, hey, can I stay for the rest of these sessions? He's an author. He has traveled the entire country doing like talks. And so he sells his own like motivational story. And he's also got nonprofits that he goes in and he works with juveniles in the justice system to make sure that like, don't do this. Don't be me. But then he also does like a toy giveaway every month, I think, where he gives kids toys in areas that have like a higher need or a higher percentage of kids doing all kinds of things.
Oh yeah, you've got a lot of success stories from this program. It seems like it's been very impactful in people's lives. And I imagine made some significant changes to their everyday life.
I hope so. I know well, Anthony didn't cry, but two of the people that won the money from the past time, they cried. And then Anthony, he's just this like ball of joy. He's jumping up and down, screaming like, "Hey, we did it." And like he had his business partner in the audience. He's like, "We did it." And I'm like, "He's so sweet." And like, I wish I could give them all like a ton of money, like be like Umsel and give everybody 50,000, but we're working there.
I love it. Let me ask you this question. What are some of the biggest obstacles that people in the program might face, and how does the launch pad help them overcome those challenges?
Really, the biggest one is stigma. So not pulling any specific person out, but one of our people was on a sexual offense list. That right there took them out of everything. Like, they couldn't go for like any jobs. Nobody would take the time to even talk to them. And it was something that they admitted that they did when they were young. It was like a stupid thing they did. And that was one that was like, yeah, people are really harsh. Even if it was something as innocent as you were drunk in public and peed, you can end up on this list. So that stigma, I think, is the biggest barrier for a lot of things. Another person, the one that went for the paralegal, like, he was practicing law and he cannot now do that anymore. And I think just even having that is like, how do I come back from that? And he is the most positive person too. He was like, you know what I can do is I can help people with this. And I know he's wanting to start a nonprofit for people currently incarcerated so that he can talk to them about legal, because it's, as you and I probably are even familiar with too, it's hard to understand legal stuff. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. No.
I don't know what I don't know. And so there's a lot I don't know. So yeah, I can't fully remember what you would ask, but I think that's really the biggest, like the stigma is that big barrier.
Yeah, and that's something that we talked about in the very first episode. It's just stigma plays a significant role in people being able to obtain employment, maintain employment, and just the opportunities that they have when they turn to the communities that they reside in. So entrepreneurship really does, and I will emphasize this the entire time, become a pathway, an option for people when there are no options or limited options for them.
Yeah, and I remember I said this when I did a KSDK interview, and we do a lot of things at the library. And one of our things that we do as a department is we can help people with their resumes, interview technique, doing the company research to see if it's even a company you want to work for. And I can do that with someone that was formerly incarcerated all day. I can show them all the different things and be like, let's make a killer resume. Here's how to use AI to write a cover letter that fits with the job description that you're going for, but then also highlights your strengths. We can do that. At the end of the day, though, I can't change the culture of a company, what their hiring practice is and isn't. And so that is something we are working on in St. Louis. Soulfisher Ministries is working on getting people to become second chance employers. So trying to make a move, trying to make a change, slowly but surely. But something I can do, I can assist you with right now and can help you be successful in, is starting that business. So if people keep telling you no, like, oh no, we're not going to hire you, let's find that thing that you can do. There's so much out there.
So much. And speaking of that, I know that you all have an upcoming application cycle coming up. Can you tell us a little bit about the upcoming cycle. Mm-hmm. Kind of walk us through how someone can apply or what the process may look like for them.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm very excited because I'm just excited that this program can continue. So our 2025 cohort is going to be starting in July and run July through August. And then applications open May 1st and run through May 31st. Application can be found on our website at slcl.org. Very simple application. It's just going to be like your first, last name, like contact information about you. There will be a question about when you were incarcerated and where at. I don't need to know anything else. You don't honestly care about what you were convicted of or tried on. But I do care about afterwards. It's going to be like, what is that my idea that you have? What do you want to go for? And then what is your passion? What is making you want to do this? And things we've seen from people are like, I want to, you know, I remember one, and this was my guy that was a mobile car in detail that I did not get to talk about. He said he wanted to prove to his child that he was worthy of something, like that he could be something great. He wanted to show that to his son, just so that his son would know, like, I can also be great. There's people that wanted to do, like, create generational wealth. So I want to make my business so that I can then leave it to my kids to be able to continue my business. And then there are things that are like, I have been rejected for so many different jobs, and I just am looking for something to be able to do to support my family. So that's the stuff we're looking for, is why are you going for this? Why are you interested? All the other stuff, I'm just sort of like, what's the last part of the application say? So that, and then, like, of course, we're looking for what type of business so that I don't end up with three custom t-shirt makers and they're all like, what? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Pretty simple application process. Mm-hmm. So another question for you then, I know some people, they may be hesitant to apply. They may feel like maybe they don't know a lot about business, or, you know, or just afraid, scared. That's mm-hmm. completely understandable too. Or there could just be other reasons on why someone would be a little hesitant to apply. How would you encourage them that they are ready or that they're qualified to start a business after incarceration?
The biggest thing is, if you're thinking about it and you apply, that first step is the hardest thing. So just think of that application as your first step. Next step would be, you know, showing up to the class if and when you are accepted. We couldn't be any more of an open place to come. What's nice about libraries is people choose us often for places to meet up. Tutors that come here, because this is a nice place to just meet up with someone. So it's hopefully not intimidating of a place to come. Everybody's always nervous that first night. And if you don't know a lot about business, that's fine. That's what we're here to teach you. When I started in this position in 2020, I knew nothing about business. And so getting into learning all about things about business, I mean, there's still stuff I don't know. If someone ever said, should I start a sole proprietorship or an LLC? I'd be like, I don't know. Let's find someone that can answer that for you, though, because that's what we're really good at, is connecting people. It'll all come. And that the only thing we are really here for is to champion you, and we will champion you as far as you want to go. So yeah, I think that's what I would say.
Yeah, I think that's a nice message. Just to settle any nerves that someone may have if they're listening. Mm-hmm. And it's something that they want to pursue, especially if they're in the St. Louis area. I don't think I heard when the deadline is. Can you remind me?
Mm-hmm. May 31st for the application.
Okay, so May 31st, the application mm-hmm. is due. Mm-hmm. You can find it on the website.
Yep, goes live May 1st, so it'll be all available all that month.
And to make it easier for you, I'll just put it in the description box so you can
That'd be amazing.
Click on it and apply, especially if you're in the St. Louis area.
Yeah.
If you're not in that area, that's completely fine. Library and our programs or organizations that are offering something very similar for formerly incarcerated people. Mm-hmm. I know there are a lot of programs like Defy Ventures, Inmate to Entrepreneurship, mm-hmm. All have local places in certain areas. So just check around and see what you have out there and see how you can get involved. But yeah. I do want to zoom. Can we zoom out just a little bit? I know we've talked about the program here at St. Louis a lot. And I want us to kind of speak to, I guess, a broader conversation of, like mm-hmm. I said, there are a lot of organizations all over the country that may do things. We just listed some. Can you just talk to us a little bit about what the role of programs like the Small Business Launchpad program plays in shaping opportunities for formerly incarcerated?
Yeah, so really it's just about that connecting and networking with other organizations. So a place like the library is really good at that. We have a lot of connections already that we make just to say like, hey, use the library. Now it can be like, hey, I now need you. Could you come assist us with these things? So organizations like the library and programs like this just help connect entrepreneurs to people that do care about their entrepreneurial journey. There are so many organizations, even government agencies. There's a small business development cohort, I believe, in every city. There's the Small Business Administration is a government facility, so it's everywhere. So they do a lot of the loans. A lot of the loans that SBA gives out go to banks. So local banks are also really great places to start talking to. But what's nice is this type of program brings everything together. So it brings it to you versus leaving it on you to be like, well, now I need to talk about my LLC versus what business entity am I going to do? And do I have all of my business plan things together? Who should I talk to? It's just one of those brings it all together. If that answers your question.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Just, you know, networking, connection. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times when people are leaving incarceration, they don't have networks or connections, yeah. and mm-hmm. may not have this information. And so when you have programs like what you're offering people in St. Louis, they're really important and they're really mm-hmm. vital to people being able to be successful and to just have opportunities in life.
Yeah.
Because they can go there, they can get information, they can, from the idea to execution and the mm-hmm. funding, they can get it done there. And, you know, places that they probably wouldn't have got those opportunities if we didn't have yeah. these type of programs.
Yeah. And even if your library or another organization in your city doesn't have this, your library is always a place you can go to ask questions. So if you mm-hmm. are personally working on your business plan at home and you're just like, I don't know how to formulate, like how to form this. I don't know how to make this. I don't know what's best. You go to your nearest library, they can point you to resources that are reliable mm-hmm. and trustworthy that you can then quickly make connections with. Mm-hmm. So your libraries are always really, moral of the story is you should connect with your library no matter what, for anything. Because something else, like zooming out, another resource or service we have is Reference by Mail for people currently incarcerated. And so mm-hmm. we're starting these conversations with people while they're incarcerated. They'll ask us, like, how do I copyright my poems? Mm-hmm. How do I trademark my music name? How do I mm-hmm. contact different record labels? I think I just had one that was asking about, I never heard of this, but like freight loader trucking, how to like become a freight LLC. Mm-hmm. I learned a lot, except for what the actual title is.
Don't they do something with, I don't know.
Right. And he knew a lot because he was like, what, tell me about this program. And I looked up the program and it was like a program you would use as a freight truck to pick up jobs. And so.
That's what it is. They pick up loads and they schedule
them.
Yeah,
they do their things and go across the country. And so we're starting these conversations beforehand. And so it's a conversation that we can, even if you are currently incarcerated and hearing this, you can reach out to a library. You can reach out to St. Louis County Library because we have a service called Reference by Mail where you can start asking these questions so that when you do get out, you have like a leg up to say like, ooh, I already know I'm going to start my freight trucking business. Mm-hmm. I know that the application for it is this much. I know that the school cost is this much, the certificate is this much, and then just go from there.
Yeah. See, moral of the story, you all, if you didn't hear us at the us at the beginning, you're hearing us now. We're going to repeat it. Go to your local library.
Yes.
They have so many resources. Even if they don't have something tailored specifically to formerly incarcerated or currently incarcerated, they will be able to assist you and point you in the direction to where you need to be. So go to your local library, get you a library card, use it, put it in your wallet, go to your library.
It's technically free, even though it's not, because you pay for it in your taxes. But like, I looked at my tax bill this year, I pay $14 for my library. So if I think of all the stuff that I get from the library for $14, I'm winning big time.
Winning. Yeah. Well, look, I have really enjoyed this conversation and learning about the program that you're offering at the library in St. Louis. Before we wrap up, I do want to ask you, is there any advice or last minute thoughts that you would like to share for our audience about the program or just in general?
For the program, I would say apply, please apply. We just want a really great cohort of people. And even if you don't become part of the cohort, we still email you to say, like, how can I still help you? What can we do one-on-one outside of the program that we can still assist you? So definitely just apply. But I think the biggest thing that I always want to encourage and just tell is that you're not alone. Just because you might not have that network. A lot of the things we do see from the guys that write us, and it's mostly guys that write us, the female prisons, they're like, we've got networks outside. But the guys that write us, what we've learned is they don't have a network outside, that we're the only people that they write to, that you are not alone. Still, you have your library, whether they have this program or not. You have a librarian that's going to always be willing to help you find information, that there are people out there that do care about you and about changing the stigma around being incarcerated beforehand. But that there's always someone that will be willing to champion you.
Always. You are not alone, and there will always be someone to champion you. I like that. So I do want to turn it over and just talk to the audience really quick and empower y'all to go to your libraries. We're so serious about that. If you or someone you know has been impacted by incarceration and is looking to build a business, don't wait. Go to your local library, community organizations, reentry organizations, and look and see if they have opportunities like the Small Launchpad Business Program. If you're in St. Louis, apply to this program here. Become a part of the third cohort. And get started on your business. If you are not, look in your area and see what is available. And if you need assistance finding program, reach out to us and we'll do the best we can to help you find whatever programming that it is that you need.
Yeah, I'm always available. So you feel free to put my contact info. I'm very happy to help anybody. One time I had a woman call me. She thought I was a hair company, like a hair salon, and asked me about how much a perm was. And I was like, oh, this is the library, ma'am. She's like, I'm so embarrassed. And I said, I'll find you that phone number, though. What salon were you looking at? What part of town were you looking at? So, I'm always available to help find something, information, whether that is just connecting you to the library closest to you or another organization. I will do that research.
See, libraries, they're so willing to help. So go to them.
Yeah.
Well, look, thank you. Thank you so much for being here and sharing this information with us, Megan. It's really been a great conversation. And for everybody that's listening out there, I just want you to remember that your new beginning is possible. And there are resources that are out there that can help you along the way. So as you're on your journey, just keep taking action and keep building. Struggling with barriers? Don't let the obstacles hold you back. Explore the legal resources, advocacy groups, and skill-building workshops listed in the episode description. Take action to remove one barrier at a time and get closer to building your dream business. Thank you for listening to this episode on More Life, the Reentry Podcast. Be sure to come back next week to learn more. Before we end today, I want to give a huge thank you to the More Life, the Reentry Podcast team in helping with the development and production of this episode. Thank you. If you are interested in joining our team, please fill out the form in the description box. If you want to share your story, please fill out the form in the description box. We thank you for joining us and be sure to tune in next week.